Hey, welcome to Mindful Mostly. I'm Andrea Collins, and I'm pretty into mindful living. I mean, mostly. For instance, this week I went for a run to a bakery. Also, remember how I haven't been buying clothes as part of my New Year's resolution? Well, I went out and I bought like all the flower pots and houseplants. So now I'm a crazy plant lady in old clothes, and I'm okay with that. So this show is about that kind of balance. It's a wellness show, but an honest one. No judgment here. Even though I'm slightly judging myself for breaking a 14-day record of wearing yoga pants like every day after Christmas. Some people would call that giving up. I call that comfy town. Loving the feedback, guys. By the way, if you haven't listened to episode 2 yet, check it out so you can start manifesting like a badass. And episode 6, where you get 5 things you can start doing now to feel like your best damn self. Subscribe to the podcast, let me know what you think, and join the community, which I am so pumped to be part of with you guys, at Mindful Mostly on Instagram. Question: what are you listening to these days? Is it happy and peppy, or like depressing as fuck? Get a grip. Looking at my account right now, I seem to be listening to a lot of Martha Wainwright and Nico Case. Some Sam Smith, The Killers, Lorde's album Melodrama, and Taylor Swift's song Endgame, which I can't stop listening to. So, little angsty. Ooh. And that might explain why I'm sort of feeling it these days, you know? Take a look at your playlist, though, because on this episode, we have writer and musician Madeline Chung here to tell us how to make the playlist that is going to change your life for the better. But first, it is the Soul Nugget shout out. And I want to start with this one. You were born to be real, not to be perfect. Yeah, that's what I was saying to myself the whole time in yoga pants. And this one. I may look like a potato now, but one day I'll turn into fries and you'll all want me then. Mm-hmm. Love her. Writer and musician Madeline Chung is here. She wrote this amazing article in Fashion magazine this month about music and mindfulness. It's about how music can heal and a playlist can change your life.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I love making playlists personally. I feel like I need that to kind of get me into the mood for stuff. So I have like a playlist for when I'm working and I need to write something and I just need to hammer it out. There's a lot of Kanye on there, obviously, like oddly enough, which is, I don't know why. I also really listen to a lot of Kendrick and Kanye for working out because it's just that like good pump up. And then like, I don't know, I have like my chill vibe playlist when I want to decompress and like I'll put on some candles, light some sage and just kind of listen to that and be really immersed in it to kind of relax myself. But I mean, we all know the powers of music. I mean, sometimes I think we don't realize it. A few years ago, I read a tweet from Demi Lovato and she was like, music is my band-aid. It heals everything for me. And that truly just resonated with me because it's like how many times if you feel sad, you put on like Adele, you're going through a heartbreak and you're listening to that and you really get immersed into your emotions. Mm-hmm. And it's a way of expressing yourself that perhaps words wouldn't be able to do. Sometimes a lot of people aren't able to communicate what they're feeling, but through music, they're able to really understand their feelings and why they're feeling the way they are.
Didn't you say there was a moment where you didn't realize you were in a funk until like Duran Duran's Rio came on?
So that was one of my sources. Yeah, she was, her name is Carcia Campbell, and she went through a pretty bad phase of depression. And she was telling me that she was stuck in bed. She didn't want to do anything. And her friends were like, okay, you know what? We're going to go to this Duran Duran concert. And she's like, I don't want to go out. I don't want to be around people who are happy. Because like when you're in this funk and you're depressed, you're just, it feels like there's this cloud in your head. Like, I mean, I've experienced it myself, and you really don't want to do anything. Things that used to make you happy don't make you happy anymore. But she had grown up in a very musical household. So finally she agreed, and she went to the Duran Duran concert. And at first when it started out, she was like, oh, there was all these people dancing around her. And she's like, oh, I hate this. Like, why am I here? And then Rio came on, and something in that song, I think she said when they were like chanting or I don't know, just made her feel alive again. And she had gone through like psychotherapy and was trying all this stuff, but it was really that moment. And she said it was so powerful. She said, the Duran Duran concert saved my life.
Wow.
Which is insane. And she's like, I feel so embarrassed saying it because it's Duran Duran. She's like, it's such a silly song, but it really changed her, and she was able to incorporate music back again in her life. And she said, it really made me feel alive. It made me feel like I had purpose. Like, I would just start singing again. And it was like, okay, I have something that I love, and I'm going to stick to that and go with it. And it's just, it's one of the many stories you probably hear about how powerful music is and how it impacts you in a positive way.
Now, this is something you are bringing into your life more. This is actually becoming your career.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. Music is one of my biggest passions. Helping others, and once I got onto this like spirituality kick, which was a couple of years ago, I started reading Gabby Bernstein, and she just like really got me
big time. Me too.
Yeah. So ever since then, I was kind of like, you know what? I really want to go down a healing path, because I've had my own struggles with mental illness, and it took me a long time to get where I am now, which is a really good place, and to figure out what works for me. And I found that the people that helped me the most were the people who had been through it themselves. You can go to a doctor, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and they're kind of just like, okay, take some meds or write in a journal. But sometimes that's not enough. You know what I mean? Like, for me, I've kind of figured out, okay, yes, writing in a journal is huge for me. Meds, yes, for me personally, maybe not for everyone. Working out is huge. And then music, because music is what really grounds me and connects me back to like the source, you know? Like, I feel like, okay, if my ego's getting too big and I have too many thoughts in my head, if I just sit at my piano and just start playing, everything just kind of calms down and I get grounded again, and I feel like I'm back to, I don't know, my true self.
Music is such a gift. And even if someone isn't, you don't need to be musical to have music in your life in a big way.
And that's the cool thing about music therapy, is that a lot of people think that it's very one-sided. So like, let's say you're having a bad day, and if I'm a music therapist, I'll just be playing a song and make you feel better. It's not like that at all. It's very interactive. It's almost like having a conversation but without words. So you don't need any musical experience to partake in music therapy. It could be something as simple as, let's say you come in and you have anger and you don't know how to express it. So I'd let you choose from an instrument, and let's say you choose a drum and you bang on the drum to kind of express your anger. And then the music therapist would kind of mimic that to show that your feelings are acknowledged and are heard and are understood. And then you kind of keep building up from there and then slowly resolve to a place where you want to be. So it's really cool that you actually don't need it. But I think all of us have music in us intrinsically, right? We all, like, you see little babies, they just move around to a beat, which is crazy, or they're dancing, and it's like, how are you dancing if you can't walk? But you are feeling that rhythm, that music, that soul of the song.
Now, we all have the ability today to build a playlist that could change our overall vibe, our feelings, our outlook on life. How would you advise people, and like, what did you talk about in the article on how to build a playlist to make you feel better?
So one of the music therapists that I spoke to, her name is Elizabeth Mitchell. She is the music therapist in residence at Laurier. And she was telling me about the ISO principle. So that means that when you are building a playlist, the first song on that playlist, it needs to match where you are. Because obviously, if you're feeling sad and depressed, you don't want to listen to like Pharrell's Happy right away. You're just going to be like, what the hell is this? Like, I don't feel happy. Why am I listening to this? So she says, really start off with a song that matches your mood. And then you're going to gradually build it up to where you want to be. Maybe it's at that happy phase. Maybe it's kind of like, I think one song that I put in there was Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine, right? So it's kind of giving you that bit of hope through a song. So that's something really cool that I learned from her, is the order of a playlist too. Sometimes I think we don't realize, a lot of people listen to playlists out of order, And yeah. a lot of times when people build playlists, they want you to listen to it in a certain order. There was a woman who I interviewed as well, Drea Sappho, and she creates these playlists. And she's like, I hate it when people go out of order. She's like, she has one called Coffee and Conversation, and it kind of starts off slow. And then it builds up and gets super, super intense, kind of like a conversation would. And then it kind of ends off with like The Weeknd or something to kind of be more chill. So a lot of people, when they're crafting playlists, they're crafting it in a very clever way, in a very purposeful way. Mm-hmm. And I can understand how that would piss people off. If you're just kind of listening out of order, it's not like the vibe that they want you to be at. But yeah, when you're creating it mindfully, I would guess, is to, yeah, use that ISO principle. Start off kind of acknowledging where you are and then setting that intention to where you want to be and putting a song that would kind of build up to that.
So the last song should be where you want to be.
Yeah.
And then also that makes me think of workout. Like you go to a yoga class or whatever, like a Pilates or some class, and you get there. It's usually like mid-tempo at the beginning. The energy goes up for the middle and then you come back down for stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
It makes sense though, right? Like it's... Why wouldn't you do it that way?
For sure. You know those artists that just like, oh, man, the first time I heard Adele's Hello, I was driving to work and I was going through a breakup and like that just cracked me right open. And then I think of like Sia and Chandelier and all of her big songs where she's singing so hard, like her voice is cracking and that makes you feel triumphant, you know? I mean, you could just go absolutely on and on.
Yeah, it's the healing powers of music shows no bounds. Like, it's really crazy. And it's not even just for mindfulness. I talked to one professor, Dr. Michael Thott, and he does, like, the neurological aspect of it. And he was showing me videos of how, like, someone with Parkinson's gait who is kind of, you know, shuffling or not walking steadily, as soon as they put a beat... And again, it's building with that ISO principle, so it's starting off where they are, but as soon as you put a beat, they can walk perfectly, which is insane.
No
or
kidding.
Someone with, I saw a demonstration, and there was a gentleman who had suffered from a stroke 6 years ago, and he had aphasia, so he wasn't able to speak. And he used to be an opera singer. So one of his music therapists said, okay, let's try singing Elvis, Can't Help Falling in Love. So the way they started it out was he would finish each verse, like, sing the last word, so wise men, and he would go say, only fools rush, and he would say in, and then gradually build it up. So she actually brought him in for the demonstration, and oh my gosh, I literally wanted to bawl my eyes out because it was so moving. Like, he tried to introduce himself, and he struggled with speech, but she started playing the piano, and he started off, and it wasn't perfect. Some of the words he mixed up, but he sang, and like his daughter was sitting in the audience, and I was just like, holy shit.
That's
music is powerful. I know. It's so powerful. It's something so simple that can make such a big impact in so many different ways. And I think a life without music is just not real life. Like someone in my article said, it's a soundtrack to our lives, which is true. If you watch a movie and there's no music in the background, it's weird. I don't know. I personally think it's weird.
Oh, my God. I went on a date with this guy a couple of years ago, and he told me that when he's driving or at home, he has no music on.
That's
I'm like,
so
what
weird.
If you're in the car for an hour? Nothing? He's like, no, nothing. I'm like, this isn't going to work
That's
out.
A deal breaker.
And that makes me think of also music and falling in love. I mean, so many of the great love movies and the soundtracks have those songs that are at those pinnacle moments. And like you're a musician, and you said to me before we started this interview, you said that the guy that you're dating has to be musical so it's something you can do together. A, that's really nice, and B, that's so hot.
Yeah, it's, you know what, the connection you get, well, personally me, the connection I get playing music with someone is like, I mean, I've dated some guys who weren't musicians, and it was great, but I did not feel that same connection as I dated one guy. He was probably the worst guy I dated, but our connection musically, I feel like that's what made me want to keep going back to him, because I would play the piano. He had the most beautiful voice. He could sing John Legend like John Legend. So I would play Ordinary People on the piano, and he would just belt it out and sing, and it was like the most beautiful thing in the world, you know? Like, it was just... holy shit, I'm making music with someone that I love. You know, it's like, I don't know. I can't describe it. The man I marry, he's going to have to be a musician.
My deal is that he has to write me a song and sing it at our wedding.
Perfect. You have thought out that moment in your mind.
I'm manifesting it right now.
You got to say it out loud. That's right. So, okay, you're listening right now and you're down in the dumps or you need to get revved up. First thing they should do is go on to whatever app they're using, mm-hmm. let's say Spotify.
Yeah.
And just start building it. Is there a certain number of songs you should use?
I don't know. I don't think anyone specified. I'd probably say like 10 to 12 songs is a good number. Because also, again, you kind of want to gradually build yourself up. You're not going to go from like 0 to 100 mm-hmm. in two songs, right?
Yeah.
So I'd say maybe 10 to 12 songs would be a good way to go about it.
I bet that could even be incorporated into meditation.
For sure. 100%.
You could do it however you want it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Hey, thank you so much for coming
by. Thank you.
If people want to follow along with you online, because I know you have a lot of exciting stuff going on, yeah. how can they do that?
At Madeline Chung, MadelyneChung.
Thanks, Madeline.
Thank you.
It is time for your Mindful, Mostly Mission of the Week. And it's making that playlist.
Yeah, get on it. You just got to start from the bottom and work on the way up to where you want to be. And let's say you're thinking, okay, well, whatever, I'm already really happy. How about just working on a playlist for a moment of your life, a moment of your day? Maybe it's your workout. You've got some like old ass tracks on that playlist and you really need a refresh to get running. Work on that. Or let's say when you wake up in the morning, you put on your like coffee house indie playlist. You turn into a human latte. You need something to rev you up a little bit more, right? So let that playlist build from when you wake up in the morning to when you're actually leaving the house. Okay, let's say you're going through a breakup. I'm really sorry to hear that. It's truly the worst. Start it at the bottom. Cry. Get the tears out. Get the snot on your sweatshirt. Then add a little bit of Demi Lovato in there. Whatever you need. Start to build it up until, boom, you're Beyonce at the end. Either way, I want to know what makes it on your playlist and what the theme is, so hit me up on Instagram at MindfulMostly. And speaking of which, I'd love to keep track of how everybody is doing with their progress. And I want to start sharing some of those stories on the podcast. For instance, I know quite a few people who still haven't been buying stuff in January. Good on you. A lot of people are trying to go for the minimalist vibe. I know a friend of mine was trying to stick to that, but she had to buy her kid a hockey helmet. Well, yeah, I mean, he's going to be skating on the ice without a helmet. And he's like, my mom's a minimalist. No, she obviously you need to get those sorts of things. But otherwise, she's still doing really, really good. I know a couple of you are meditating like pros, and you're aiming for 15 minutes a morning, some of you, and you have said that it has literally changed the game. Either way, keep me in the loop. Feedback is welcome as well. If you're thinking that there is a show topic that you want to get to and we haven't tackled it yet, reach out. I can tell you that coming up, we are going to have an episode about this crazy moon that's happening on January 31st. A moon expert and author is coming on the show, and she's going to tell us, A, how to live by the moon and how to cast moon spells. Are you kidding me? Plus, New York Times bestselling author is going to be talking about gut health and how you can be thin from within. That is her new book. And creativity. I want to get into that as well. So hit me up with everything that you're thinking and join the community at Mindful Mostly. I'll talk to you next time.